morning. Good morning to each of you. Huh? No, I'm fine. Thank you. It's good to see each one of you here. Thank you for those who are joining live stream. My title of my sermon today is On the Road to Emmaus. Now, when this was given to me probably a month ago, the Lord wanted me to look at it and kind of dig deep into it and see what the Word of God was trying to help us to understand in this particular event. Like many of the other things, as I'm able to study the Scriptures and read and ask the Lord to lead and direct my heart and mind, I always try to put on the shoes of those who are speaking. Not Christ, but those He's talking to and working with, like the prophets or like individuals within the different advents of time recorded in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And I find it important in my life because it brings me closer to how the Lord loves each one of us and how He desires to work with us and calls us up to a higher ground. And so when I go through this, would you please kind of put those shoes on and allow the words to speak to your heart and mind. So let's see if I can get this started here. So in the verses of Scripture, we're going to be reading out of Luke, the 24th chapter. We're going to take out of there 1 through 48. That is the complete thought there of the resurrected Christ. And then in Mark 16, 1 through 14 is the other. So you have those two areas that you can compare these things. So let's go to, and you can turn your verses of Scripture, open them up to chapter 24, Luke 24. And we're going to read verses 24 through 17. Well, actually, let's read 13. 13 to 17. Here on verse 13, chapter 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus. And I shouldn't have probably turned this slide because I want you to see what it looks like, if you can see it. Which was from Jerusalem from about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye are one to another as you walk and are sad? Those are the first verses of Scriptures I'd like to talk about and consider. So now we'll go to that next slide. So who were the two of them? Well, if you look and try to research it, it was one of the 70. It says Cleopas or Alpheus. And he happened to be the father of Apostle James and Jude, the brother of Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Christ. So you see, we're not unusual as a church where we have a lot of family that has been used of the Lord and called, set aside in different positions and been worked on from different aspects. We're the same. Then the second one in Luke 10, 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before the face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. That's the record of those 70. There have been a lot of some say, well, that was Peter, that was the second one walking, but really that can't be, because you find the apostles at the time, they were all together in another place. So it couldn't have been Peter. And later on, as I go through here, I'll help to show you that that wasn't the case. And so it looks like there was another disciple that had walked with Christ, that had been given that authority to go out and to preach and to teach. If you remember correctly, the 70 were given a great authority to go out in the power of Christ, in the name of Christ, to be a witness to Christ in their day. As Christ was living at that time and his ministry had begun those 3 years when he turned 30. Think about that as you put the shoes on and why they were walking down that road. Where is the village of Emmaus from Jerusalem? Well, it's about 70 furlongs, approximately 7 miles. There was three different places where they've been trying in antiquity, trying to locate this city. And it had been more recently that they have found that they believe that they've actually found it. And it's actually on a road. It was a very main ancient road that went from Jerusalem. At the time, Jerusalem was named Jebus. Went west towards the sea. And so you see here it says that Emmaus is described as being about 7 miles from Jerusalem. This corresponds with the distance between Kiriath, Jearim, Abu Ghosh, and Jerusalem. Emmaus is also described in ancient histories as being a fortified town west of Jerusalem. Kiriath Jearim's site is west of Jerusalem. Kiriath Jearim is also mentioned in the Bible as one of the places where the Ark of the Covenant stood, which I thought that was pretty interesting, that these two were walking that direction. Last year, Finkelstein, who was an archaeologist, a Jewish archaeologist, and his fellow researchers reported that the site of Kiriath Jearim is the hill on the outskirts of Abu Ghosh. So they are pretty confident that maybe that was it. In either case, that's a piece of history, and it was an ancient road, and it was a small city, a small village, and they were walking towards that from Jerusalem. So what were they discussing? You got any idea? They talked together of all these things which happened. They communed together and reasoned. When I think about what they were doing, I think about the times that I'm able to hop in the car and go with Gary up to Showroom or someplace, or with Adam someplace over at a conference or whatever, or with Ronnie Gill. I said, let's go for a walk. And when we walk there, when he's there at conference, we walk that whole area. But the whole time, we're walking and talking and communing about the things of God. And how it relates to us. And maybe the events that are going on and how that is affecting our lives. They commune together and reason. I hope and pray that you, when you have opportunity to get with one of like faith, that you do the very same thing. That you have studied the scriptures and you come across something that you may not understand, and you get with another fellow student or someone that are close to you, and you talk about the scriptures. Because the Lord has impressed upon you that there's something important that you need to know, that might help you in your life, whatever it might be. But that was a very important thing took place. What took place? What was the history? Why were they leaving and walking away? Well, in verse 17, it says they were sad. That was the words of Christ. What happened? What did I read in there? Why did Christ appear to them? This was the day of his resurrection. There was many things that were going on. But what took place before that? That caused them to be walking on that road and reasoning and communing one with another. What did they experience? Like I said, if they were, one was at least of the 70. If they were both of the 70, they experienced all these mighty things that Christ gave them the authority to do in his name. And they looked upon Christ, they walked with him for 3 years. And then they witnessed something very, very horrible that you and I cannot even fathom. Where they took him, they condemned him, and publicly abused him, and hung him on the cross, and he died. They witnessed all that. That great trial. They were crushed. Have there been great trials in your life? And have you been crushed? I'm wondering, why is it happening? Why? Why is this happening? Where were they heading? That city 7 miles away was, as we know in verse 28 and 29, I didn't read it, but in that same chapter, verses 1 through 35 is the complete picture. They were headed to their home. They were going back home from Jerusalem. Totally in despair. Wondering what happened. So let's go on with the story. Why were they sad? Verse 21. Maybe I should read the rest of it. Forgive me. Verse 18, follow along with me, please, of the 24th chapter. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger? So now they're speaking to Christ. He came up and they hold in his eyes. They have no idea who he is. They were just talking away and Christ comes alongside of them. And they know, oh, somebody's following. And Christ asked that question, why are you sad? And then Cleopas answers, he says, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Think about it. What Christ was doing throughout Judea and Jerusalem and the whole area. He had done all those things in 3 years and got the eyes of everyone. Really? They knew what was going on. They saw it. They participated in it. Some of them raised their hand, crucified him. And those who believed, they were hiding now because of his death and crucifixion. Art thou a stranger in Jerusalem who hast not known the things which you are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, well, what things? Forgive me, I'm not laughing in a bad way. I'm thinking of Christ, the resurrected Christ. And him trying to work with them. And then make that same, well, what things? Tell me. This communing with him on a personal level. This is what I'm talking about. Do you have that personal relationship with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of Christ with Moroni says that are in all of us, working together to help us? Do you have that? Or he's speaking to you when you're in a kind of a position like this? This is the important message that we see here in the Word of God. What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Interesting that he say that. Mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. What were the Jews who were expecting? A prophet that would be raised up like Moses. They were to look to him. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, the certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So let's continue. Why are they sad? Because what did they say? We trusted that it had been him. Again, challenging their faith. Do you think you're absolved from having your faith challenged in your lives in a way that Satan would want to challenge you? And well, you're going to be like these guys. Wait a minute. We trusted Christ. But what is this happening? Doesn't he love me? I don't understand. Doesn't that happen from time to time? Yeah. And if you don't believe, if you're saying no, then you didn't have that relationship at all. And you need to look to Christ. Well, John Gill said the Messiah should abide forever and set up a temple kingdom. This is what they believed. As they read the prophecies and the prophets, they were very familiar with those things. They were looking for another David to conquer everybody and solidify the kingdom. They interpreted wrong. In great splendor and magnificence. And what he meant by rising again from the dead, they could not devise, meaning understand. Because what were they? They were under the rule of Rome. They were persecuted. They were put down. Challenged on a daily basis. And had been, really, since they were dispersed in 598 B.C. And now that time came, when Christ came, they had all great hope. Isn't that the way we are when we first experience Christ? Wow, we're just so elated, you know, so excited. And when we make that covenant with him in baptism, and we feel that joy, and then what's the first thing that happens, right? Satan says, okay, let's see how your faith is. And he challenges us. Our own weaknesses, he starts pointing them out and using them against us. It's just the same. We're no different. The trial of our faith. So now I want to go to the witnesses. it's important that we look at this because this is part of that plan that Christ had. But before I get there, let's finish verses 27 through 35 of Luke, the 24th chapter. Verse 27. So Christ, after he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? That's verse 26. And then verse 27, the beginning. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Isn't that interesting? That's another topic. You had to be familiar with the scriptures so he could expound them. Right? And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he had gone further. This is another thing, another aspect of Christ. A lesson for us to learn. You see these, here they are, they're marching down there, they're headed home. Because all that mess in Jerusalem, we're going home. We don't know what to do. And Christ comes alongside of him, right? And talks to him and questions him. And then as they're walking, he's expounding these different scriptures that they're familiar with. And he's taking them all the way back to Moses and through the prophets and helping them to understand what? That the Messiah was to come, but he was going to also be a sacrifice for the sins of all the children of men, to put away death, conquer death. And they drew nigh unto the village. So when you see, they drew nigh unto whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. So if you have somebody walking with you, and now it's, you've walked this ways, and you're almost home, and you've had these conversations, and it's kind of getting a little late now. And he's waiting to see. Christ is waiting to see if they're going to invite him. Because that's what we see in the next verse, right? So the next verse, it says, and they drew nigh unto the village, verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry. They invited Christ in. All of us. That invitation is out for all of us. We have to invite Christ in to our hearts, into our minds, into our souls. Without that, you have no relationship with Christ. None. You are by yourself alone, wondering what happened to me. That's the important message. He would have continued to walk, but they invited him in. So what happened? And he came to pass, sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. That's what happens when you invite Christ into your life. Your eyes become opened. You start to see something bigger than yourself. Something more, there's something more into life than just this life that we see around us. There's a better life that Christ is offering. And that's what happens when we invite Christ into us, into our life. So in verse 30, it says, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. The scriptures say the Spirit comes and goes like wind, according to the workings of the Spirit. It comes, it testifies to a particular thing in your heart and mind, and then you don't feel it anymore. So it's a continuous thing as you work out your salvation. You continue to ask and pray and supplicate and read the Word of God, inviting that Spirit to come in always throughout your day and throughout your life. And it comes and goes and gives you strength according to the promises and correction and direction. But here we see that this particular thing, and in verse 32 it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? That's verse 32. And while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, I can't tell you how many times that I'm just telling you the relationship, and I know there are those out here that have the same thing. You experience that, reading the scriptures, and you're trying to understand those things, and you ask the Lord, and all of a sudden, boom, you get a clear vision of what it means, an understanding. And the only thing you could do, you can't say anything other than you start praising your God for that understanding, because it comes with love, a perfect love. It doesn't mean you know and understand the whole, every aspect of it, but you get an understanding, and you build upon it, and you build upon it, and you build upon it as you avail yourself to the Word of God and communing with your God on a daily basis. Verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. So, let's look. Now I want to take you to the witnesses. Forgive me for not doing that first. So, who are the witnesses? After the death, and now that next day, the first day of the week, is resurrection. Okay? So as you go into the scriptures in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 9-11, it says, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And so who were those things? Who were they? Well, we find right there at the beginning of that chapter, verse 24, verse 1, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that God a man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day risen again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene. That was one of them. Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told them these things unto the apostles. And the words seemed to be idle tale. They believed them not. Then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering to himself at that which was to come to pass. Well, I'm going to take you a little bit deeper in that so you can see the whole sequence of events, because if you just read this, you're not going to get the complete picture. Okay? So we see it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, at least this is what we're finding here in these verses of Scripture, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other. But the important thing here, the takeaway, the witnesses was the women. They went and they told the apostles, and verse 11. So where were the apostles? They were off in seclusion. Why? Why were they? Because they were afraid they were going to be next. Okay? When that crowd said, crucify him, all eyes were on them as well, because they were followers. What was the Apostle Paul doing this time? What was he doing? He was going off, and he had a written authority. Anybody teaching things of Christ, he put them to death. He had it in his hands, and he could do it. And he did it to Stephen. That's why they were hiding at that time. But the sad thing is, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. Why? Why? Because what John Gill had said, it truly was. They were looking for a temporal temple. Kingdom that was to come. That's what they were looking for. Someone who was going to be a king like David. That didn't occur. So, can we get into the same kind of deal? Looking about things to come and the things that are going to transpire in our lives for the return of Christ? You bet we could get into that position. Are we ready? Are we going to be like these men and women? The women, when they saw these things, they believed. They went and told. That was a witness. Christ was trying their faith. That's why he was providing them witnesses, the apostles. There was some commentary that said, well, the apostles were thinking, well, we should be seeing this. Or the people were saying they should be seeing this because they were closest to the Lord. Christ was taking the witnesses to them. The other witness, Peter and John, right? John 19, 2 through 3 and 7 through 10. Then she runneth, that was Mary Magdalene, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved. Who was that? That was John, right? So we know that Peter and John, when they heard about it, they ran to the sepulchre, right? To see. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. Then verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in one place, in a place by itself, then went in also that other disciple which came first, John, that's who was speaking, which came first to the sepulchre, he saw and believed. But did he really? Because verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Witness number 3, Mary Magdalene herself. In John 20, 16 through 18, these are those things that you can find in the scriptures as part of these events. And I'm going to bring it all together under one scripture verses that was given to us. So here in John, in the 20th chapter, it says in the 16th verse, Jesus said unto her, remember when Mary was there and she was grieving and the body wasn't there, and Christ showed himself early in the morning when he was rising from the dead. Mary. Remember Mary Magdalene? Do you know her history? Seven evil spirits were cast out of her. By all intents and purposes, she was one of the worst sinners in such because of some of the things that she had done. While much was given, much is required. And she loved Jesus because of the forgiveness that was granted unto her and that great favor. And she could not forget it. And she was with the Lord the remaining of that time that he walked this earth. Now he was not there. And so he says, Mary. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. She was obedient. So how did they receive it? Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Interesting, isn't it? Can we say to ourselves, well, we'll never be like them? If you do, you're going to be fooled. Because we're prone to fail. If we take our eyes off of Christ, we are prone to fail. The witness. Number four, two of them. Now we get back to the storyline, right? Why they were leaving. And this is what I already read to you. Where they were walking along that trail, conversing, that road to Emmaus, their home, in despair, sad, not knowing what to do, not knowing what's going to happen to them. Everything has been crushed. I believe that happens to us when we fall into sin. And the Spirit tries to reach out to us and show us where we have missed the mark. And the weakness of our faith. He is willing and he loves us enough to call us back. If we will invite him in again and ask forgiveness. And how should we do it? I go to the prophets, as Christ aptly did. Because the prophets and the law was pretty clear. And so was here, that we must repent and come back as a little child. But in Isaiah, the first two verses, or actually verse 2, well, 1 and 2, Isaiah 66, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Are we standing on the rock? Are we building our house upon that rock, even Jesus Christ? Are we doing it on a daily basis? Are we careful in all that we do to build that house? Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? He wants to be with us. He wants to be within us. But he can't if we allow sin into our hearts and our minds. Then verse 2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The living word of God contained in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, as he speaks to us by way of his Spirit, reminding us that we are his. And if we want to continue to be his, he is faithful through the blood that he gave on the cross to forgive, if we avail ourselves and repent and put away those things. Out of our life. Their eyes were opened. Sequence of events explained. You can find that in Mark 9 through 16. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, okay, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She was by herself at that time. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned with and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after he appeared to another form unto two of them, which was those who were walking on the road to Emmaus, as they walked and went into the country, they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them. Meaning, he said, where's your faith? I told you these things. I told you these things that were going to come. With their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Important words we find here in the words of Christ. So we have a parallel in the Book of Mormon. Other sheep here. In 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter, verses 15 through 45, I'm going to read a few of these verses, 17 through 19. And now because of the stiff-neckedness and the unbelief, he's speaking of those back in Jerusalem. This is the resurrected Christ here in the Americas, among a remnant of the seed of Joseph. He came to other sheep. He promised that in John 10:16, other sheep that I have that are not of this fold, they must hear my voice. And so it was fulfilled. But verily I say unto you that the Father hath commanded me, and I tell you that ye were separated from among them because of their iniquity. Therefore it is because of their iniquity that they know not of you. Now he's not specifically saying about the apostles and their slip up on their faith. It's talking about the Jewish nation as a whole when he walked with them, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees would not listen to him. They rejected him, and he was condemned by them. That's who he was referring to. And verily I say unto you again that the other tribes, there were others, the rest of the 12, that we know were scattered, the northern kingdom and then Jerusalem itself, throughout all the nations for a great purpose. That the other tribes I was separated from them, and it is because of their iniquity that they know not of them. And so Christ was going to be going to the rest of those at the time of his resurrection. We don't have those records. Someday we will. The Law and the Prophets, Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Do we have a parallel in the Book of Mormon? Yes, we do. So we see it in that 7th chapter, 3rd Nephi. And verse 3, he did the same thing with them. Verse 3, and it came to pass that when Jesus had said these words, he perceived that there were some among them which marveled and wondered what he would concerning the Law of Moses. So he had to help them to understand that the Law of Moses had an end in him. For they understood not the saying, the old things had passed away and all things had become new. And he said unto them, marvel not that I said unto you that all things had passed away and that all things had become new. Behold, I say unto you that the law is fulfilled that was given unto Moses. Behold, I am he that gave the law. And I am he which covenanted with my people Israel. Therefore the law in me is fulfilled. For I have come to fulfill the law, therefore it hath an end. But I do not destroy the prophets, for as many as have not been fulfilled in me, verily I say unto you, shall be fulfilled. And so those were probably the same conversations that he was unfolding on those two walking on the road of Emmaus, headed to Emmaus. Unfolding these things, helping them understand why he had to come, why the Law of Moses was fulfilled, what kind of kingdom that he was bringing. It was going to be a spiritual kingdom, his kingdom, to rule, and that Israel would be reclaimed and brought home to the homelands. All those things. Do you understand them? Have you read about them? We're living in that day of that calling to the Gentiles to Israel. Christ's ascension, Acts 1, I'm almost done. Got two more, this one and one more slide. Acts 1:6-11. Verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Okay. So now, he's been with them. He's with them now. He's in the upper room and he's talking to the apostles and those that were in that upper room. And they ask him, well, are you going to restore the kingdom now? That physical, temporal, kingdom. That's what they were asking. That was the question. It was still in their heart and mind because they still had a perception. The kingdom of David subdued all their enemies. And throughout the scriptures, you find Christ saying, there's another kingdom that I'm going to bring and set in order. Verse 7, it says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So this is a lesson for us. We know he is coming. He says he's going to return. We need to understand what we need to be doing in preparation for that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Our light can shine among all the children of men based on that spirit that is within us. As we walk in our life, that's our calling. That's what Christ wants us to be doing. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That's the promise. His beautiful return. So what are we to do? When the Son of Man cometh, Luke 18, 1 through 8. We can read that, those verses, but I'm only read one, the first verse. It's a parable that he gives, but I'm not going to read the parable. And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, meaning not to be discouraged, not to allow your humanness to separate yourself from God. Verse 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That's the promise of the faithful in our day, prior to the coming and at the coming of Christ. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's the question. That was the question Christ asked. Look what happened to those who walked with him and saw those beautiful miracles and all those things. What happened to them when those trials came upon them? Their humanness kind of took hold. We have to be very diligent in the day that we're walking. As it said, to be always to pray and not to faint. May God bless us in our walk with our Lord. May his blood be applied to us as we keep the commandments, is my prayer for each one of us. May God bless you.